I met Paul Hyde in a unique space on the University of Delaware campus called Faculty Commons. Several of the walls are bright blue, and there's a variety of modular chairs, some occupied by faculty members huddled around monitors. There's even a partially completed puzzle spread out across one table that Hyde says is a trademark of the space. It's a hub for faculty to gather and learn about new tech features, some of which have made their way into classrooms in recent years. Hyde works with faculty members to update and redesign classrooms. But he says the innovations aren't limited to classroom settings. He took me on a tour of some learning spaces, starting in the design studio, a traditional laboratory that's been re-envisioned.
It's interesting to notice we're going through all these spaces. I haven't seen any professors.
That's because the space is designed for group work, outside of class time.
Yeah, I think the university is realizing that there's so many ways to engage students in the classes. And only so much learning takes place during the actual scheduled class time. So if you're only meeting with your students 3 hours a week, only so much can happen in that time.
Hyde describes places like the design studio with wide tables for multiple students to work on at the same time as an ecosystem of informal learning spaces to complement the formal ones, like lecture halls. And these design studio rooms even have informal names too, like the Hive, Hacktorium, and the Pit. While this area is just 4 years old, some of the first steps towards traditional classroom design started in the early 1990s, part of an international movement called Problem-Based Learning, or PBL.
And that's basically where students have to work in groups of up to six people, solving problems during class, as opposed to some of the other classrooms we've seen where they're taking notes and receiving information. They're given problems, they're given questions, and they have to come up with the information to solve those.
Some faculty members wrote a book called The Power of Problem-Based Learning and received a National Science Foundation grant to teach more faculty members about it.
So it's very much a faculty grassroots effort, and it grew from there.
I talked with Steve Bernhardt, who was part of that grassroots effort. He recently retired, but was at the forefront of the Problem-Based Learning Initiative on the University of Delaware campus.
The direction of change is to decenter the teacher as the font of knowledge and as someone who delivers everything the students need to know, and to create classrooms that support social activity, interaction, team-based learning, and problem solving.
Hyde took me to a classroom with a traditional setup for PBL, including circular tables with six chairs around each. But something was still missing.
This is the type of room I talked about where the chairs are flexible, but that's not enough.
The tables in the PBL rooms probably weigh about 70 pounds. Bernhardt says in the early 2000s, several classrooms were used as design laboratories, used to pilot different classroom arrangements and technology. A handful of teachers volunteered as guinea pigs to test out the new designs. They got rid of the traditional desk or fixed seating arrangements and put in pod-like chairs instead.
So the shelf or desktop space swivels, and you can swivel it out of the way if you want, or four or six people can kind of swivel their desktops together and create a larger table surface.
It worked well and remains popular. I even got to try out one on my tour around campus.
Because it's not just a chair on wheels. It has such low resistance, such low friction.
That's Hyde again. Hyde says these classrooms are popular with faculty who want to transform the room back and forth between group work and lectures quickly.
So what we wanted to do was be able to have a faculty member say, okay, work together now in pairs, and in 5 seconds have two chairs be able to spin next to each other, and students are working in pairs. And then the faculty member, after that pair activity is done, say, okay, let's go back to a presentation. And students just spin around, and you're back in presentation mode.
But there are some classes, like economics and other data-intensive classes, where a different approach was necessary.
There's not enough desk real estate for the student. By the time they sit in that chair and they set up their laptop and they take out a notepad, that's it. If you wanted to say, here's some handouts to work with, or share something with your student next to you, you'd have a hard time configuring it.
For these classes, high-tech features were added to the traditional PBL model.
Some faculty, once they figure out how to get in this classroom, they schedule all their classes in here because they like it so much.
Instead of using circular tables with six chairs, one side of each table was leveled off to accommodate a TV screen for each group to sit around.
As classes become more interactive, you need more ways for people to record what they've done, shoulder work, There's a book out, I think the title is Make Learning Visible. So the idea is the more people are showing what they're doing, what they're thinking about, sketching things, writing questions and answers, comparing things, the better chance a faculty member has of seeing how well they're doing with that particular subject they're teaching.
Some classes on the University of Delaware campus now even have tiny recording devices hanging from the ceiling that will record entire lessons if faculty members opt into the system. Others have walls entirely covered with glass where students can scrawl ideas. Hyde also walked me through some lab spaces connected to classrooms with a big window.
We talk about making learning visible. That's a different way of making it visible. As you can see, okay, there's going to be a connection between, when you come in here as a student, you're just visually connecting, okay, this isn't just going to be a place to sit down and take notes. I'm going to have to make a connection in the lab in a little bit, and faculty members can look back and forth to see how students are doing across the different spaces.
Next on the list, envisioning how a 200-seat lecture hall can be updated with high-tech features.
It's very early on, so we're just starting to ask ourselves those questions.
Hyde notes that classrooms are updated with new technology about once every 7 years, and they're just over halfway through a 7-year period now. That means that within the next 3 years, all classrooms should have some of these new features. But then, Hyde says it'll be time to start the process over again. For Delaware Public Media, I'm Megan Pauley.